ESPN 97.5, KFNC 97.9, HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Presented by Zadok Jewelers.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Fun game for the Houston Astros last night. I am not a fan of West Coast baseball in September. It's two things. It's the late start time because it's on the West Coast. And it's the fact that it's September and the Astros have pretty much wrapped up the American League West. But last night certainly helped. They have a 5-game lead in the American League West over the Seattle Mariners, who lost to the New York Yankees 11-2 yesterday. They have a 98.3% chance of winning the American League West per Fangraphs. It seems like everything has just been neatly tied up. So you want to fast forward to the postseason, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then you get a game like last night, a game that was so fun because of the chaos that was created by the people that are supposed to be holding this thing together. This game wraps up with Jose Altuve having been already ejected. We'll get to that in a moment. Gray Kessinger steps in, makes this play, and the Padres are bitching at the umpires right afterwards.
Towards the middle, knocked down by Kessinger, ball game over!
Gray what a
Kessinger
play!
Hadn't played since mid-July, and he knocks one down and makes an incredible play to win a game! Profar yelling at the umpires. He told them he wasn't hit by that pitch. This is one of the craziest endings you'll ever see.
Unbelievable. Bases loaded. A guy who just came up made an unbelievable play. Gray Kessinger with the backhand and the flip. And the Astros with every right to complain have actually won this game against this umpiring crew and this great team in the San Diego Padres.
As soon as Profar was retired, he got up and started screaming at the umpires.
What a moment.
It was a good call. They did a good job on the final. I feel like they painted the picture very well for what the game was.
It's so messy.
We got a tweet earlier asking about when is going to be the Jose Altuve shoeless bobblehead day. I need one.
Would be great.
I'm not a big bobblehead guy. That's one that I would go to an Astros game for.
That would be a nice one. It would get Astros fans to show up early, which, as C.J. Stroud correctly pointed out, Houston sports fans don't exactly do that all the time. But I don't think baseball would allow it. I feel like they'd stand in the way. Rebel Jose Altuve, ejected twice in 1 year, all of a sudden angry out on the diamond.
You think MLB would put their foot down?
It's funny because Jose Altuve, after being hit in the foot,
pointed at his foot,
and then he took off his cleat, and then he took off his sock. I wish that the cameras had been zoomed in on him in the moment so we could see how quickly he did that. Did he untie his shoe?
Just throw it off?
It sounds like, per Gray Kessinger, as soon as I saw him starting to unlace his shoe, I picked up my glove.
I like that.
Gray Kessinger had some great one-liners in this. I wish he was mic'd up as well after making a catch on a fairly routine line drive that was right to him.
Yeah. The photos from Altuve are funny, though. Just like there's the wide shot. There's the one where he's bent over and he's pointing at his toe and it's super close to him. Like, they're just, it's very just comical. I'm just glad they won this game.
Yeah.
Because none of this conversation is as fun if they lose.
No.
So, like, it's just way more, fun to be able to talk about Jose Altuve and his feet.
Rex Ryan of ESPN. Is he at ESPN still?
Yes.
We haven't got that push notification yet. He's been fired.
He's on
Rex
Sunday.
Ryan
Sunday
giggles
countdown
when they show Jose Altuve getting ejected.
Honestly, if he's on TV today, they probably showed it to him.
100%. On Get Up? Yeah. Is he on Get Up today?
Yeah.
The Altuve moment, it was confusing because you see the ball go into the infield. It's fielded, and the throw to first is made, and that's it for the inning. And when you're watching it on TV and you have the call happening, you don't get to see right away just based off of the angle that they generally show the ball leaving the infield on or leaving the batter when he swings at the ball.
you don't actually see the foot, at least too long. You know, it's like a split second image before they change it to showing where the infielders are. And I at first glance, I know I didn't think anything about it. And then you heard Todd Callis and Jeff Blum explaining it. And then the next thing you know, like, it goes from that to Altuve's taking his shoe and sock off in less than a minute.
Yeah, it's like, I think my initial reaction was like, oh, Jose Altuve, like, zero effort on this play. Well, because they throw to first and he's nowhere to be seen. And I'm like, oh, he just, like, didn't leave the box. And then they quickly go back to him and he's upset. But then Joe Espada comes out on the field and the next thing you know, shoes are off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just, it's gone from not running, Espada's out there, and now we've got shoeless Jose Altuve.
Yeah. I got to say, the umpires, shout out to them. They made last night more enjoyable. They did.
They made it more entertaining.
Yeah. And I feel like we should tip our hat to them. Tip our hat to the boys in blue. And I know I'm probably the one person that is...
Oh, you are.
...backing the blue. The one person who understands what a tough job that is with split-second decisions that need to be made. I am the thin blue line. Just me. But I back
I mean,
the
they're
blue.
With you, too.
They should be.
Yeah, I mean, they stand with their...
They should be, and honestly...
Union brothers who are terrible at their jobs.
I should be getting 10% from them.
I'm team robot here.
Remember when Joe West wore an armband for, I forgot, umpire awareness or something?
Oh, Sean, that's... I wish I'd worn one today now. I wish I'd worn one today. That would have been just a great move. I backed the blue.
I forgot he did that.
You did do it. Did anyone else wear it?
No.
I don't know. Even if they did, like, it's just like it doesn't matter because it's Joe West who wore it.
Mm-hmm. King of All Twitches asks, why are these horrible calls being reviewed wrong? We did have a jokey answer about this earlier where, like, oh, they're tired. It's 1 a.m. in New York. Oh, these guys are on the desk. You would think that they want to, you know, in internal affairs, throw their boys in blue under the bus so that they can get back out into the field. I truly have no answer for that because – you would think these umpires would want it, and it feels like, in a way, the people that are back in New York are further defending their guys, even when there's video evidence that completely contradicts what they ruled on the field.
Yeah, I mean, it's the foot one.
And it makes it fun.
With Altuve, I just don't think it's reviewable. Like, I don't even remember them going to review it last night, so... That one's going to have to change. Like, the fact that it's not just it's happened to Altuve twice, this is... If it's happened to Altuve twice this season, it means they've got this wrong other times, too. Like, my stance on replay has always been, I'm fine with it. But if it's not going to be used correctly, then just get rid of it. Just stop wasting my time. Stop wasting, you know, jerks and Profar getting hit, not getting hit. Stop wasting my night and just play baseball and let us complain about it on the radio the next day and people complain about it on social media. If you're going to get the replay wrong, because they got the Profar wrong and they went to New York, then just get rid of it. Like, yeah. It's useless.
I wonder what they consider to be, you know, in the NFL, it has to be clear and evident.
Yeah, indisputable video evidence.
Exactly.
I think they use a very similar language.
So do they have a higher standard? That's what I'm trying to wonder here, because generally, the NFL gets those right. The only ones that they usually don't get right after video review are spot on the field calls. Like, hey, we actually think we were at the 46-yard line, not the 45. Stuff like that. It almost never gets overturned, even when it does seem like it was in a different spot than ruled by the officials. And honestly, odds are it was probably incorrectly spotted by the officials. It's a very inexact way that they go about doing that. But with umpires, I'm wondering, like, what is the higher degree of proof that is necessary, and why are the rules such where there's no way to challenge some of these things, you know?
Yeah, I don't know like what their level of, like, what they need to see. Because, you know, like this play, like the Profar play, it's way more straightforward than any bang-bang play we see at first base. Like, at first base, you've got to make sure that the first baseman has his foot on the bag. You have to just see exactly when the ball is in the mitt of the first baseman and when the runner's foot touches first base. Like, if they got that one wrong in replay, Like, it's almost subjective because it's so close.
Yeah.
And any second you move that camera frame, it can look like something else. Like, it's just like a catch on the Isaiah Likely touchdown from week one.
Yep.
Like, you have to zoom in so much to see exactly where his feet are.
And that game had the good cameras.
Yeah. But ProFar, like, it just seems so obvious. Maybe that's what it is for baseball. Maybe they're just brokies. And they don't have good enough cameras to zoom in.
Oh, on these
and
local
see
broadcasts?
Like what they have.
Yeah. Now I don't know if the Padres are part of the Diamond Sports Group with the Valley Sports Network. I would assume that given that the game was taking place in San Diego, that they are in charge of the cameras throughout the ballpark, and vicariously they are in charge of both broadcasts, what gets shown and what doesn't get shown.
Mm-hmm.
Could be wrong. I truly do not know the ins and outs
of that. I think
you're
right about that.
But Space City Home Network, I'm sure they're like sharing a feed with the San Diego Padres Network.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something where that might be it. That really might be it. You know, you watch a game on CBS versus a game on NBC. CBS is screwed by comparison. CBS is like the worst of the three networks that broadcasts the games, NBC and Fox as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like those two usually have a pretty good eye for things. CBS has always been slow with the replays that they show on television, and it does feel like those cameras are probably not helping out the crew in New York, say something ends up being reviewed and sent over to New York. But it feels like in baseball, there's more moments where everyone agrees that this was what it was supposed to be. Maybe it's because of the balls and strikes thing. And it ultimately doesn't end up being that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't need to have robots behind the plate, like, or the challenge system even that they're trying in the minors. I don't need to have that. Like, I think there is something about baseball that, like, it is a game that of inches and centimeters that, like, there is imperfections in it. And it is, you know, it is the human eye that makes these decisions. But, so, like, I can go away with the strike zone argument and worrying about the zone. Like, I'm not one of those people that freaks out when there's, you know, a bad zone. Like, and there was a bad zone last night for both teams, like, for sure. But it's not the end of the world. It's this stuff that I think it's easily reviewable. It's easily obvious. And they choose and are willing to get it wrong in a sport where, like, I don't understand it. Like, I don't understand how, like, honestly, I guess I was naive, Paul. Like, I thought this stuff was going to get better. I really thought that with the legalization of sports gambling, that some of this stuff was going to be, I thought they were going to be forced to get better at it.
Why don't they care about the degenerates?
Well, they're the degenerates because they're the ones that are getting billions of dollars from this.
Did you have any money on last night?
No, I did not.
Okay.
And if I did, I would have won because I would have bet on the Astros.
Okay, good.
What do you think about Tony here on Twitch asked about why can't the umps be available for interviews? Is that something that you want? Like, you think they should answer?
There's the pool report after the game. But the pool report is interesting because it's always done behind closed doors.
Mm-hmm.
I've always thought that it should be some sort of a press conference. I think it's very strange that one person gets sent in there to ask those questions. And I'm sure that person talks with all of the other members of the media and they determine what gets asked and what doesn't get asked. But I think it should be a press conference setting. Like, why not? What's the harm?
Yeah, even if it's the one-on-one, you know, pool reporter setup they have now,
yeah,
just have it be public. And it's always only four questions. And because we only get transcripts,
yeah,
you don't know if there's any, you know, can you ask a clarifying question?
Yeah, because I want to hear these guys if they're stumbling.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, that's the thing. Yeah. It's never videoed. It's always
just a transcript.
Just transcript after the game where, again, it's always three or four questions. And I also wonder, like, can they ask seven? Like, can they, in a game like this, can they ask 10 different questions about, like, okay, so, you know, what about Altuve's foot thing? Okay, so what about Hader, the step off that he, okay, what about Jurison Profar? Like, there's so many different questions you could ask that it does seem like there has to be a better way to do this than one person behind closed doors, and then they come down from the mountain with what the referee said.
Okay, and this might be very hypocritical. I also, at the same time, I hate the two-minute report in the NBA. I hate that they just, like, acknowledge everything that went wrong instead of just getting...
Yeah, because a lot of Daryl Morey's to, like,
yeah,
say, we have files, many documents about what actually happened.
Or just get right during the game. Like, find a way to get it right during the game. Don't tell me a day later
yeah.
that... hey, these are the six calls that got wrong in the final 2 minutes of an important basketball game.
If that's what you're saying, then you're basically saying you don't want the pull reports at all. You just want to just move on.
Well, like, just the way the NBA does it. Like, I'm cool with
acknowledging
it. Because
the MLB, they don't come out, like, the MLB won't say that they got these calls wrong. They won't come out today and say that they got the calls wrong.
Yeah.
They got to move on from it.
Yeah, the NBA, it's more of just, like, eroding the public trust in the officiating for the gain of, I guess, transparency, but no one cares when it's like,
yeah, like, it's like,
hey,
it's,
my team should have won. Thanks for telling me.
Yeah, like if they would have done this a couple years ago, and it wasn't even in the final 2 minutes, but or maybe it was, the James Harden dunk that went in and out against San Antonio. Like, I don't need someone to tell me that the bucket should have counted when, like, I have eyeballs. Like, I don't need that. Like, just get it right. Find a way to get it right, please.
Virginia Buttonweed brings up how they don't show replays at games. That is the worst part of all.
Sunday was brutal.
Yeah?
During those challenges.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even, like the Nico catch, we all knew it was catch.
But at least they weren't showing it on the
Maybe they showed the Nico one.
Because I'm in the press box, so I see the replay from the television broadcast. Yeah. They have TVs all throughout the press box. I meant from a baseball perspective.
Oh, yeah.
Because baseball, they do not show replay on the Jumbotron. Generally, they do show calls that would be more favorable for the home crowd on the Jumbotron at NFL games.
Yeah, they didn't show the Kyler Gordon, like, almost interception that he had that was, I think, challenged as well on Sunday night. But they only show stuff that's going to benefit them. Like, you'll see the Astros will throw a replay up there if it's a clear, concise, safe at first base.
Yeah, it's only to get a reaction out of the crowd. Either they're reviewing it and it's going to get overturned in favor of the team, or to get like the rain of boos or the cheers.
To intimidate the referees and to make better calls the rest of the way. He's Joe, Sean behind the glass, I'm Paul, Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Did CJ Stroud just pull a Mike Krzyzewski? You'll hear. Stick around.
You're listening to Galant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Galant and Joe George.
In the moment on Sunday Night Football, when you saw both C.J. Stroud and Caleb Williams doing the customary quarterback shakes another quarterback's hand, I think we were all of the assumption that this was a nice moment where one young quarterback was recognizing the game of another young quarterback. We now have the audio of that, and I am very curious to know if people believe that C.J. Stroud just pulled a Coach K with Caleb Williams on his way off the field.
Good job out there, bro.
Yeah,
hey, keep going. Stop taking those hits.
Yeah, I know. Right?
Hey, learn from those mistakes, and everything that you got, bro, is in you already, bro. You're going to be a hell of a player in this league.
Yep.
All right, boy.
Appreciate it.
For sure.
Yup, appreciate it, Caleb said while not making eye contact with C.J. Stroud.
That's weird.
Caleb said after walking away. Well, I want to be fair here because I think a lot of people are looking at this as a moment to dump on Caleb Williams. I don't know that I'd want to be lectured to by the team that just beat me after losing a game where I'm running for my life the whole game.
100%.
And I could actually see how some people maybe look at that moment and say, oh, man, this is just like Coach K with Duke going into the opposing team's locker room after beating that team to give them words of wisdom. Stroud's been in the league for 1 year. It was a great rookie season, one of the best we've ever seen. And I'm sure that he actually does have advice to give Caleb Williams. Is that the place to do it? In that moment right there, telling him to come back? Was that out of bounds?
No.
Caleb clearly wanted none of that.
I wouldn't say it's out of bounds for either side. Like, for Caleb to want nothing to do with C.J. Stroud in that moment, I think it's totally okay. I also don't think you have to, as good as he was last year, like you're saying, it's year two. I don't think
you're not Peyton Manning. You're not Tom Brady.
Yeah, man. Like he's also like he's kind of talking to him like he's like a grown ass man.
Hey, it's kid.
Like,
and what 1 year difference in age?
They're 24 and 23 probably. So there's not some, you know, it's not Matt Stafford. It's not Aaron Rodgers. It's not, you know, one of these older veteran quarterbacks. And even then, like I wouldn't want to be dealing with that in the moment. I do think it's cool for CJ to try to give words of advice. You know, I mean, at the same time, if I'm Caleb Williams, I know that CJ Stroud said don't draft Caleb Williams for the Bears. He said keep Justin Fields. So, you know, like, I don't know how I feel about that one if I'm Caleb. But it was just awkward, if anything.
Definitely made awkward by Caleb Williams. I think Caleb could have handled it in a way where he didn't seem as annoyed. But Stroud saying, come here, like bringing him back
come
in
back,
there.
Come back.
Hey, if he doesn't
youngster.
Want, if he doesn't want to hear it, you can send him a text after the game.
Yeah, just let him go.
Because you also have to realize this too, as we're talking about it right now. Sunday Night Football, somebody is going to get the audio of that. Mm. And somebody is probably going to show this after the game. It did feel a little bit like CJ Stroud didn't want the girl to leave.
Like he wanted his moment?
No, like he, the person wanted to walk away. Let him walk away. If he doesn't want your advice, like he doesn't need to take it. You are not...
I think as an established quarterback in this league, it's CJ's job to, hey, youngster.
Well, there's some pity there, right? A little bit, like coming from CJ.
Oh, sure, because, yeah, he was running for his life all game.
Yeah.
But also, I would imagine, in the mind of Caleb Williams, who definitely believes in himself quite a great deal, there's probably an element of, I'm going to be better than you.
But
that's
yes.
going on there.
Yes.
And I don't hate that. I actually don't hate that.
I don't either. But I will say, like, for Caleb Williams, like, as, you know, even though CJ Stroud, yes, only played in one game or in one full season, if anyone knows about what, you know, Caleb's going through two games, it is CJ Stroud.
Fair.
While he had much better success passing the ball, what happened last year? CJ Stroud got sacked 11 times in the first two games, and then he barely got sacked for, like, the next month and a half because whatever was going wrong, the team and CJ learned from, and they adjusted and they pivoted in a big way as CJ Stroud's offensive line got unhealthier week by week. So that's where, like, if I was talking to Caleb, I would say, like, yeah, that is probably someone like you should ask for, like, a little bit of advice of just of, like, how not to get beat down. I mean, CJ started 0-2 and got sacked 11 times. You're 1-1 and have been sacked. Gotta be close to that. I mean, he got sacked seven times.
He got sacked seven, hit 11.
I don't remember what the first game was.
Pressured 20. But. Look, CJ telling him that, though, is pretty obvious. Hey, don't take the hits. You think Caleb was trying to take those hits? I don't think Caleb wanted any part of those hits. I mean, to Caleb's credit, he was incredibly elusive in that game.
Yeah, I don't think this isn't like Anthony Richardson who and Jane Daniels, who are, like, welcoming contact. Caleb would like to avoid all of it. There's always so much you can do when Danielle Hunter is eating you, basically.
Yeah, I mean, even the interception he threw, he broke two different tackles and then threw
and had a jersey get ripped.
Yeah, I do. I just think it's funny that CJ Stroud. It's like, let me take you under my wing here. And while what you brought up is right, Caleb Williams probably should be like, I'm good, dude. Like, we're 1 year apart. Like, I'm fine. I don't need you to put me on some game right here. You're not Tom Brady. You're CJ Stroud.
Having somebody tell me, hey, avoid those hits after a game like that would annoy me a little bit.
Yeah, like,
if John, like, or, yeah, John and Lance just kind of, after one of your shows, just like, hey, good job out there, by the way, and, like, gave you some advice, you'd be like, yeah, okay, that's John and Lance doing it. They're Hall of Famers. If Dell or someone did that, you'd be like, all right, dude, you don't have to constantly give me advice like you're my big brother here.
Yeah, and then I would say maybe tell Caleb, hey, man, don't worry about the interceptions. Like, that you can control a little bit more. But even forget, like, you talk about their age. Think about this. When CJ Stroud's last year, he was with Caleb Williams in New York, and it was Caleb who walked on the stage and got the Heisman, not CJ. So, like, that's where, like, it's even weirder, like, with that. It's like, Caleb's like, dude, I won the Heisman. Like, I'll figure it out, which is a little arrogant if you think that way. But
now, you know what? I totally forgot about that. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
Now I'm thinking about this through a totally different lens. Do you think CJ was doing this to
to put him down.
He's
like a little pat on the head. Yeah. Like, you're okay, little bro. Like,
because if that's what was going on, and I don't think it was, but if that what was going on,
I want to believe that.
That would be incredible.
It's like the Woj versus Shams thing, where like they don't actually hate each other, but I want to believe that they hate each other, and it kills them every time someone gets a scoop. I want to believe that there's beef between CJ and Caleb because of yes.
I don't
because
know.
Of the Heisman.
I guess I don't think I can handle it. Like,
why?
I just don't want
right
to be caught in the middle of
get
this.
A split. You're not going to do a split Stroud Williams jersey.
I don't want to be caught in the middle of like
number 28.
My favorites fighting.
Like, 27.
Yeah,
I just can't handle that.
You can't do it.
I don't want that. I don't want them to be fighting. I need them to be friends. Copacetic.
When
the Texans win a Super Bowl, I hope it's not against the Bears. When the Bears win a Super Bowl, I hope it's not against the Texans.
But what if it happens? What are you going to do?
Let's see how the show goes.
Texans Bears Super Bowl would have been, oh man, it'd be awesome
if that actually happened. And I thought for a while Lovie Smith
tosses the coin.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
Oh, he's definitely going to get a couple profiles during Super Bowl week.
Oh my gosh,
media day.
He would be the most popular person at Radio Row.
Yeah, him and Danielle Manning.
But just like Caleb Williams didn't want to be there, I don't think Lovie Smith would want to be there. Like, hey man, you're the reason CJ Stroud's a Houston Texan now. The team that fired you. You actually helped them out by doing what you thought was effing them over.
I just hope Lovey would be like, yeah, well, if I was coaching, I would have gotten there sooner. Even if like they go this year.
Yeah.
Like I just, Lovey Smith would be like, oh, I would have gotten me in year one.
You're congratulating Lovey Smith. He starts to walk away. No, come back.
Hell yeah, dude. It's Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 to call in. To text, and you can join us on YouTube at ESPN Houston on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. You want to talk about last night's Astros game, which was a crazy one? You can. We got a deep steel blue pill for you as well. People are kissing the Texans' ass. We got a red pill earlier in the hour. All that's on the table. Stay put.
You are listening to Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
He's Joe, I'm Paul. So, I enjoyed the umpiring in last night's Astros-Padres game, and I hope they're worse this afternoon in San Diego, but kind of tonight, because it's 5:40. First pitch, like we're in
I think
Toronto.
I like 5:40 less than I like 8:40. I think it's more inconvenient because before dinner, like I think 7 o'clock is a great time.
It is a weird time.
Yeah,
5:40 is a weird time.
Yeah,
to have a baseball game.
I mean, I'll deal with it, I guess. But
okay,
hopefully the umpires will give us a show tonight. Somehow, like Paul, you've like brought me to the dark side here a little bit.
You're kind of
like sucking me into like this take. Like I'm trying to stand firm and say like umpires suck. I want to be like Ben DuBose, just like tweet rampage about how bad umpires are. But you're kind of yanking me in here a little bit.
Yeah, man. I'm telling you, what I want to see today, I want to see Altuve get ejected before the first pitch is even thrown. I want him out. And I say that not because I have an axe to grind with Altuve. I say that because if that happens, this game will, as the kids say, go to hell in a handbasket. The kids have been saying that a lot these days. I've watched.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
I've watched the TikToks.
They're just dropping like this is what a hell in a handbasket.
Yeah,
is that what it is?
Hell yeah, dude. Mm. For real. On God, no cap. Bussin.
We need more. I need more. So you can just like go.
This ump's brought a lot of Riz last night.
Are you bringing any Riz lately?
So much aura from those.
So
umps.
Much aura. Am I bringing Riz lately? Is this where the obligatory date update comes in?
I just you brought up the word, not me.
All right. I do have an update. So
ooh.
So other girl out. It's over.
See
out.
You later.
Out. Listen, you can't if you. I'm one of those people, I like to schedule things. If I schedule something, I lock it in. Now, I might be late to it, but I lock it in. It's the schedule is the schedule. Mm-hmm. you can't keep like changing plans last minute and expect the other person to be cool with that. Mm-hmm. So that's the update. That's the update there.
Okay.
I had an interesting Saturday. Unexpected. Kind of scared of this person.
And intimidating. She's gonna beat you up. You're gonna fall in love.
Well, she has two cats.
Will that work if the three of them come together?
No, I don't think
it's
so.
A lot of cats.
No. I remember it. I didn't remember this person's name on Saturday, and I that's all I got, okay? I don't want to talk anymore. Uh-huh. But we'll see. There might be a second date because I truly remember I talked with this person.
Yeah.
Got this person's number. We started talking about our cats, and I remember she told me your name. I had no idea what it was.
Okay, so what's
it was a weird name.
So what's the play here to figure out the name?
She found me on Instagram.
Okay.
Has more followers than me.
Oh. So.
Like significantly more. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I know I'm like, huh.
You don't have to say her name, but does her Instagram have her name like easily ascertainable from the Instagram? Like you now know her name.
I know her name now.
Okay.
I know
okay.
her name now. I was
hoping it wasn't an Instagram where it's like, it's hard to decipher what the name is.
It's as weird as I thought it was going to be.
Okay.
So
okay. Well, let me ask a follow-up question.
Mm-hmm.
You know what it reads as.
Yeah.
Do you know how to pronounce it?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not Jackson Smith. N. 713-780-3776. Some great questions, I guess, by the Twitch. Captain Pope, I feel like Paul does this job as an audition for The Bachelor. And then once he gets it, he'll be a full-time influencer. Well, speaking of that, somebody who I know, like not very well, who was on the recent episode of Love is Blind, I am 100% certain this person is faking being gay for clout. 100% certain. Mm. 100% certain. I don't know if it's an inside joke, wink, wink. No, Sean's laughing. I'm not kidding. This is... I noticed this today on social media.
So he's on the show.
No, this person is on the Love is Blind Houston show. This person became very relevant from that show for being a bit of a character. And now all of a sudden, this person seems to be acting like they have a girlfriend.
Mm.
And I do not believe it for
a second.
I think
I also know this person.
Yeah, I think we all know.
I think this person graduated with my wife.
High school. No, not that school.
Because there was someone on Love is Blind. Oh, no, was on the, what's the terrible one? The really terrible one? The Circle? You ever watch that one?
No.
It's like a blind dating show.
I haven't seen that. All I'm saying is... Love Island Houston featured, not Love Island. Love is Blind Houston is featuring some stolen gay valor.
Mm.
I do not stand for that. Okay, as someone who may or may not be in the community, per you, I do not stand for
that.
Hey,
when you say per you, can you clarify not me?
I mean people listening.
I just make sure
per the public.
Yeah, we don't want to be like. You know,
well, maybe you do. I don't know. I don't know what you think about.
I know, but like, I don't need like an HR violation.
I didn't
like that.
I didn't in the date update. I'm pretty sure I did not reveal the gender of. Who I may have been talking
I think
to.
You said her name.
Oh, I did. Damn it. Well, the ruse is up. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. We've got Jeremy. Jerbear, what's up?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
I want to say I'm very stoked about the Astros right now, but I'll put myself on blast and admit that in May, I truly thought they were dead. My bad, but I'm very happy that they are where they are at the moment.
We killed them earlier this year.
I wanted to speak specifically about one Astro. It is my opinion that we very well may have seen Lance McCullers' last game as an Astro.
Wow. Damn. Did you see that coming? I didn't see that coming. Jeremy, I appreciate the phone call.
Last game for Lance McCullers.
I appreciate this probably 3 month late take. I appreciate it though. I appreciate it. Joe's trying not to laugh. He should be.
He might pitch next year.
Jeremy, where were you with this take like 3 months ago? I feel like this is a three-month-old take, is it not?
Well, I have never called the Jag show before.
So you're holding on to this. Okay, got it. Sorry, I don't want to sound like a jerk here. I'm just like, damn, I wanted this like 3 months ago.
No. It's just, I guess I just wanted to let it fester. And
it sure
it
has.
Just finally needed to come out.
Well, Jeremy, we want you to call in some more. Don't wait 3 months. Next
yeah, he's
time.
Just like Jeremy's. Just like he's just learning from idiots like me. Like who just
did he just come back from overseas?
Who
is
just
he
like throw out
for our
takes.
Country? I yeah. salute Jeremy. I salute you.
No, he's just like, hey, before I put this take out there, I'm gonna like really make sure.
it's like Captain America went into the ice, but only 3 months ago, and now he's out of the ice, and he's like, yeah, whatever happened to?
I tried Lance's. Coffee place.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Okay. Hey, I think the Astros should move on from Jose Abreu.
I think they should move on from Rafael Montero.
That's a great point, Joe.
Good job.
Sorry, being mean.
Yeah, Jeremy, this is all Paul. Okay. This is not Sean or Joe.
Is Joey LoPorfido untouchable?
Just a reminder, you can buy tickets to the listener party for Friday and confront Paul Gallant. There will be security on hand, just to make sure nothing gets crazy.
If you're quick enough, you can get in a punch. Just hide in a bush.
I mean,
just
look at Aziz Alshire.
We're not checking the bushes.
Yeah, Derek White got punched at the Colorado.
I mean, look, there's even a place on our parking lot where you could drop Paul.
Whoa,
come on.
They did take the crane out. You're right.
But you can hold him by the ankles and shake him down.
Someone texted me yesterday asking, a friend from back home. And they're like, hey, you don't think it was over the line when your co-host said that you were dead to him? And I was like, no.
Oh, I mean, that's not even the worst thing I've said. I've told Sean multiple times, that's why you'll be a terrible father. They're like the stupidest things ever. I hope most people know that I'm being very sarcastic and that I don't mean a lot of the mean things that I say. But I don't know. I suppose some don't.
I think most get it by now.
Like, you get it, right? You get it by now.
Yes, I get it by now. I've got it since we kind of worked together at the flagship.
Okay. I do realize this every now and then. This is not me, acting like, oh, my sarcasm is so deep. It's like, no, sometimes I really get a little bit too, tricky with...
You tell someone to bleep off and they're like, whoa.
And I was like, no, that's a loving F off.
Yeah. I don't mean literally. Yeah.
So bleep off with a heart emoji.
Yeah. You bleep off, you scoundrel, you. See you tomorrow.
That's probably the twitch. I've done that a couple of times.
Well, yeah. They're a different category.
But you know what? It's nice. They say something mean. We should be able to say it back.
Yeah, I started being more mean to them recently.
Yeah. Sometimes I need a C-bomb thrown in their face, you know? Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's Gallant and George. He's Joe. I'm Paul. 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in. Should the Astros move on from Rafael Montero? Should the Astros move on from Jose Abreu? We'll talk about that before we wrap things up next. Stick around.
We're back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
Last chance to ask Gallant and George. I don't want Jeremy to be a stranger, even though I was just a jerk to him, as pointed out by several on the text line.
Yeah, Jeremy, just when you call back, just be like, hey, Joe. And he's like, Paul, I don't want to talk to you. And then we'll remember who you are.
For those who don't know, Jeremy called in and he said, I think we've seen the last of this with colors in Houston, which isn't that bad. It's not that bad, but it is a little bit dated. I feel like it's a little bit dated. We got a couple other texts in here from the 713. I don't know if we should keep George Springer, writes one. Mm. The 936, they should let Yuli go. You know, Joe, I got a point to make. Are the Astros... you know what? As a fielder, I wouldn't hate that. But I'm concerned that the Astros don't know that they need to put in Yiner Diaz at catcher in the playoffs over Martin Maldonado. There's got to be somebody that still thinks Maldi's on the team. Over, under.
100%.
got to be at least one person. They're like, he's not there anymore.
I mean, I feel like we, because we talk about the Astros every single day and we're in great detail, we're familiar with who's on and off the roster, there's going to be probably thousands of people that watch their first game in October in the ALDS or in the wild card.
They go, where's Maldi?
And they're like, where's Maldonado?
Yeah.
Where's Dusty?
Or finally, they're not playing Maldonado.
Yeah. Like they're gonna be calling in with like gratification. Like this is the first time they've listened to sports radio since last October, and they're gonna be like, I'm just so glad, you know. Thank you, Dusty, for not playing Maldi anymore. And we're gonna have to say there's so many things wrong with what you just said.
I really want the real baseball casuals to come back to this show. Because the playoffs, this is fun, but we are very welcoming in the playoffs. But I want somebody to say, like, wait a second, I thought Dusty Baker was black. Who's this guy who's managing them now? I just want one person to do that. That's all. Well, he lost a lot of weight. He seems younger.
Mm-hmm.
Where did he go?
Yeah, he's just, you know.
Ra's al Ghul's pit of eternal life. Anyway. Ooh. I'm appreciative of Jeremy.
What a show today.
Where's Garrett Cole?
Hey, man, I hope this sign-stealing scandal doesn't blow up in their face. AJ Hinch?
They're going to be so confused.
He's
when they
Latino
play.
Now?
They're going to be so confused when they play the Tigers in the first round and they see AJ in the other dugout.
Oh, who the hell is this guy?
That would be. Tigers still in range?
Yeah, they're only a game back now. They've gone on a
Holy
run.
Crap. Yeah. Good for them.
AJ's got him on a run.
Good for them. Makes me feel a little bit better about that.
So, yeah, right now, I mean, it's Tiger series, we're pretty close to AJ Hinch versus the Astros in the first round of the playoffs.
Oh, that would kind of suck. Losing to Hinch would be like, oh, well.
That feels like that's your door closes on the dynasty right there.
We got another text from the 832. Don't trade for Kikuchi. He sucks. We need Joey. Please note sarcasm. Well, isn't that a Jeremy Branham take?
I mean, they've got.
Didn't Jeremy Branham want to keep Jake Bloss over Yusei Kikuchi?
I think that's.
I didn't listen. I know that one person in particular has brought this up to me a couple times. I'm like, yeah. I didn't have the take. I don't. Really
no,
care.
They're too busy being worried about me.
What happened this time?
I owe them stuff, and I know
you owe them stuff.
I lost a wager. I'm aware. I owe them things for said wager. But, like, when they stop complaining about everything I do, then, like, I'll pay them back.
Well, is that ever going to happen?
Also, do you think paying them back will help them stop complaining?
Yeah. This is,
no.
This okay. is sort of like the way some are talking about rhetoric in this political sphere these days. Well, I'll stop my rhetoric when you stop your rhetoric. Meanwhile, people getting shot. Hey, your rhetoric has to stop before I stop my rhetoric. You know, it's a cold war. It's just going to last forever.
That's true. Yeah.
You don't want to hold on to that.
No, I need to get them.
Let them be the ones holding the grudge. And yeah, you got to you lost the bet. You got.
Oh no, I know. Don't worry. Joel's pink Packers hat is on its way because the wager didn't specify what kind of hat. So
I like that. Okay, so you're not going full Florida State fan.
No,
payoff.
No,
okay.
Jeremy's. I just have to bring the alcohol I own. I just keep drinking it. So
I respect it.
Look,
I want you to give him an empty bottle.
I own a bottle of Gentle Ben. I bought Gentle Ben the last time we were there, and I just was like, one night, I was like, you know what? I'm going to try this. And I just drank the whole thing. So I had to go back and buy another one.
Joe George here for Gentle Ben.
One day, maybe.
Let's do a little garbage time before we get out of there, this show.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
To begin, garbage time. Marshall's playing Ohio State on Saturday. And Charles Huff, head coach of Marshall, jokingly is trying to lure Buckeyes to the thundering herd with Tootie's biscuits.
I feel good about the track we're on. Trust me, I know where we are, but I feel good about the track we're on. And I feel good about the players we have. Would love to have some of those guys from Ohio State too. So if they want to transfer on down, we've got a Tutor's Biscuit NIL all you can eat. So if any of those guys that run really, really fast at Ohio State like Tutor's Biscuits, I promise you, all you can eat all day if you transfer here. So, but yeah.
Biscuits are good, dude. I love biscuits.
Just don't think that's quite going to get... You know,
it's not.
It's not going to quite get the recruits in the door.
Maybe you can get better offensive linemen.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to like really love biscuits.
Biscuits are...
I'm sure they have more than just biscuits.
But the way he's promoting the biscuits, they're the most important of the NIL.
The biscuits get you in the door, you know. And then, yeah. It's like the IHOP, the International House of Pancakes. They have pancakes. They have other stuff, too.
It's true.
We discovered after the show, in case anyone listened to yesterday's show and heard us talking about how somebody that works, we believe, in our company was listening to a video full volume in the bathroom stall that sounded very interesting. Joe found the video right after the show was done.
Yeah.
It just popped up on your phone.
Yeah, because it was it's gone
viral.
It was like 13 million views. On X.
Embrace debate, and the Killer Bees will be taking your call on this all show long. Should you stand while you pee?
Do you know how dirty it is for a man to pee standing up during the 21-second release? Guys usually aim for four spots. The back of the toilet is the most destructive option. The rebound splash can be up to 7,550 drops of urine. If you're facing the water in the middle of the toilet, that's 372 drops of urine. Simply put, even if you're the best shooter, you can't escape the splash of urine. When the urine flies 7.5 to 15 centimeters, the urine will collide with each other in midair, so it breaks into smaller drops, flying higher, farther, and wider. The maximum process can reach 91.4 centimeters, dropping onto the toothbrush, towel, tissue paper next to it, and 77% of guys will shake after peeing. The residual urine will also become everywhere. If they are not cleaned up in time, it will slowly form urine scale. It gives off a bad odor. Many men may think that peeing standing up is a sign of male honor, but in some countries, most of them pee sitting down. For example, German boys are taught from a young age that peeing while sitting is the real deal.
And that's where we stop.
Stop.
They almost had me. Until they set the German boys sit when they pee.
I think it's even weirder hearing your story about going to the bathroom and someone's listening to this on their phone and like full volume, and then now hearing the video. Now I have more questions. And I think if we work with honorable people at this station, that whoever was doing this should admit to it and come on the air with us tomorrow and explain why they're watching this. Why they're sitting down. Maybe we'll tape it in case it's bad. But.
You wonder why Germany lost two world wars, then you find out that they all pee sitting down.
I think that makes a lot of sense.
I mean, totally makes sense. And on that note, guys, it's been real. We're going to shake this thing off to wrap up the show. Put the toilet seat down.
Just shake it off.
We stood. We didn't stand. We didn't sit. We stood. For Sean Mace, for Joe George, I'm really Paul Gallant. This show was dumb. So long. Farewell. Bye.
Jackson Smith, Ngujuba.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.